All right, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 John. Way over back toward Revelation. 1 John. And Joy, is that you? Okay, I wanted to be sure. You know, some family members look so much alike, I get a little confused sometimes. But Joy and John work with the Jewish people in New York City, up in that area. Stand up just a second so folks will know who you are. And we're glad to have her here. And you left John at home? Oh, my goodness. Well, it's good to see you anyway. But we appreciate the work they're doing up there and doing a good work. And we've had the privilege of preaching there once anyway. I'd like to preach here again someday, but anyway. but anyway, we enjoy it. And we appreciate your work and ministry and all of that. Brother Mike, I've been there too. On that anniversary thing, you know, but I'm usually the one that's right, and Carolyn's the one that has to think about it now. That's a little different, isn't it? A little different, but yeah, I plead the fifth. If you hadn't picked up a brochure on Mount Abiram, they're out in the lobby as you go out on the left, and it has a lit. Boy, those are ugly preachers on there, Brother Bill. Is that as good as you could do? But anyway, they know how to preach the Bible anyway, so that's good. But Pete, get one of these brochures, if you will. There's one or two exceptions in there, but I won't say who they are as far as good looking, but anyway, they're there in the brochure. So pick one of those up, and if you can come to the Mount Abiram Conference, let me tell you, you'll be glad, because it will be great Bible preaching, solid Bible preaching, and it'll also touch your heart, refresh your soul for missions, and we appreciate that. All right, let's get into our lesson. And we want to talk about today the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, if some of you have just come in the class recently, we do have a book for you. We only have about three more lessons, and we'll finish out this series. But if you want that book, I'll give that to you. If you'll see me, I'll get one of those to you. And the rest of you, let me encourage you to keep those books and review them sometimes. Not only that, study ahead. We give you some verses for each day of the week to study ahead so that when you come into this Sunday school class, there'll be some questions, some things that would be of interest to you after you have studied these verses throughout the week. And then we'll cover those and some other things as we go into our study. So we're talking about the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John wrote the three epistles. He wrote five books, the book of John, obviously, and the three epistles in the book of Revelation. And when he was on the Isle of Patmos, God allowed him to write them. You understand when we say John wrote it, that God controlled it, and he wrote under the total inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But God used a human person in order to write down these things. And so we have these books. Probably John in his senior years retired in an area where he didn't retire. Most preachers don't retire. But he, as he aged, was living in Ephesus. And some historians, scholars believe that John was a man that watched over some of those churches in that area. Now, he wasn't a bishop or an archbishop or a pope, but he watched over those churches and helped and guided them. And of course, he was revered and respected, as you can imagine, because God's calling upon his life. But he tells us that in the Word of God that heresy is going to come in. Now let's look at 1 John 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Beloved, believe not every spirit. And remember, primarily the book of 1 John is written to born-again saved people. If you don't remember that, you'll get confused in your doctrine. Beloved, writing to saved people, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. In other words, the incarnation. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Two spirits, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do you know the most dangerous position that we have is a position that is nearest the truth? Every religious person who doesn't believe the truth gets as close to the truth as they can, and Satan makes sure that they do so they can deceive you. And a lot of people just take it in because they use a little language about God and some language about Jesus, and they'll use what we're used to as far as the words that we're used to, and yet they're thousands of miles, we might say, away from the truth of doctrine, and they don't believe that. And so many people get deceived just because they say Jesus or God or use a few of the terms that we use. And so the most dangerous position is the error that is closest to the truth, because it's so subtle and so deceptive. And John realized that. And so sometimes the religious language blindly causes people to believe in things that they should not believe in, and they work because they work for Satan, and he uses those things to accomplish his purpose. You see, Satan is our enemy, and Satan is fighting us, and Satan will do anything he can. He'll give you all the religion and all the religious terminology you want, as long as you don't believe the truth, and if he can keep you from the truth. He didn't mind doing that. He's very subtle in doing that. Now look at verses 2 and 3 again. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Keep that in mind. It is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. It was already in the world even back then. And so Antichrist, when they refer to Antichrist, they're talking about anyone who would be in the place of Christ instead of Christ, or someone who is against Christ. Both of those would be true about describing Antichrist, someone who tries to come in the place of Christ instead of Christ, or against the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, this is the first century that he's writing to these believers, and already there was a very serious problem coming into the church and a distortion of the truth. Now, truth is vitally important, isn't it? And we know that if we're going to have fellowship with the Father, and 1 John is one of my favorite books because it talks about having fellowship with the Father. And if we're going to have real fellowship with him, which a lot of Christians don't, we're going to have fellowship in love, fellowship in holiness, and fellowship in obedience. That's all in 1 John. And then fellowship in truth. And a lot of people say, well, we've got to have fellowship in love. We don't worry about the truth. You can't do that. All four of them are necessary, and one of them is truth. And our fellowship is in the truth. And so, first of all, in our outline, in your books, we have the invasion by the spirit of error. The invasion by the spirit of error. So we are invaded by the devil. And the Bible calls him the prince of this world. He's very powerful. He is the prince of this world. Think of a prince of another nation somewhere and the power they have. And Satan is the prince of this world, but he brought into our world the spirit of error. He's the one that's behind all the bad stuff. And so he invaded the Garden of Eden, did he not? And in the Garden of Eden, the spirit of untruth and the spirit of error came into the Garden of Eden in the person of Satan, and he lied to Eve and convinced her that God was not being honest with them. He said, and I'm putting it in my words, he's saying that God is not being honest with you because if you eat that fruit, you're going to be like God. And you want that, don't you? I can almost hear him saying something like that. You want to be like God, don't you? And so that was the spirit of error that he brought immediately into the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. And, of course, Eve faltered and then Adam faltered. And because of that, all of this got into the bloodstream of humanity, the curse that comes with failing God in sin. And so he did a powerful job on that. And every time God's truth is sown, the devil comes in to try to steal the truth and put in its place error. And he does that over and over and over again. You remember that one-third of the angels fell whenever Satan was kicked out of heaven. And we know that there are a lot of demons. Revelation 12:4 talks about one where there was a legion of demons. A legion would be 6,000 in one person. Now, our minds can't get a hold of that, but all I can tell you is that's what the Bible says, that he said, my name is Legion. And I don't know of any other way basically to interpret that other than the fact that he's talking about there were that many demons that were in control of that person. But we know that Satan had was kicked out of heaven. He is a deceiver. He was angry about it. He has all of these workers that work with him, and they have the spirit that he has, and that is the spirit of getting lies and not believing the truth, getting lies into the church. And so we inherited through our bloodstream the error that he brought to Adam and Eve. And when I get to heaven, I want to talk to him about that blunder they made and why we suffer today because of all of that, because of Adam and Eve. But had it been you or me, we'd have probably done the same thing, no doubt. But we are bent toward error. We are sinful by nature, and people would rather believe error than the truth. I've talked to a person this week for a long time, and we discuss Christ and the Bible and getting saved. He's Roman Catholic background, and as I discussed it with him, he just kept coming up with these arguments of error. And we had a very, very nice discussion during that period of time, but he is bent more toward believing a lie than he is toward believing the truth. But I gave him the truth. He'll have to do with what he has to do with the truth, and that's what we're supposed to do. But we have that spirit of error that we're bent toward in humanity. And even in Christianity, we have to be careful with that because that is the fabric of our land rather than believing the truth to believe in error. Now, turn to John 8, if you will, just a second. Back to the book of John, if you can turn there very quickly. And we'll look at verse 32 and then verses 42 and 45. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's good, isn't it? If we know the truth and believe the truth will make us free. But drop down to verses 42 through 45. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of the father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? And he goes on to speak about truth. And he's just describing who Satan is again here very clearly for us. And if we know the truth, it'll set us free. But he's saying, I'm giving you the truth. You don't want to believe the truth. And the person behind that, that blinds people say, well, why do they do what they do and act the way they do and live like they do? Because Satan has blinded them, and that's what they do. Secondly, we have the indwelling of the spirit of truth. We have the invasion of the spirit of truth by Satan, the spirit of error, and then the indwelling of the spirit of truth. And we'll go back to 1 John again, look at verses 1 through 4 again. Let's just go back to those and see what he's saying when he talks about that. And just drop down to verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come into the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Very familiar passages to us. But we know that the Holy Spirit, according to this, indwells us. You realize today that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the tabernacle, the building of the Holy Spirit. And just like you're inside this building right now, the Holy Spirit is inside your body. Everybody here that's saved, the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. Now that ought to make us think about how we treat our bodies and what we do and where we go and what we put into our bodies and whether we sin or not, and so on and so forth, because our bodies are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, not just some believers, but all believers. You don't have to pray down the Holy Ghost. The minute you get saved, you're baptized into the body of Christ, and you also are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the devil has 42, somebody has said that the devil has 42 different names in the Bible, and the Holy Spirit has some different names, and here he is called the Spirit of Truth. That is the same as the Holy Spirit. That's who he's talking about in these verses that we've read. So to me, that is very comforting that we have the Holy Spirit in us and that we can talk to him and ask him to help us. If you lack wisdom, what do? To get wisdom, you ask of God, and God giveth to us. And he doesn't upbraid anybody. He's not going to fuss at you about wanting more wisdom to magnify and glorify his name. And the Holy Spirit lives in us, and one of the things he does a number of things, but he comforts us and guides us. So I'm glad that we don't have to be frightened about the fact that we have the Holy Spirit, and we know that he is living in us, and we have the Holy Spirit of truth dwelling in us. Now, we don't have philosophy. He's not talking about philosophy or some of these other things. I'm reading through a book now, by a brilliant scholar, and a man from India, and he takes on the task the intellectuals of the world and goes back and shows how our country, through a lot of different factors, has come to where it is. And the main problem can be laid at the feet of the church. Maybe not our local church, but Christianity overall, where used to Harvard and other places were teaching the gospel, and then they decided in that period of enlightenment that they would somehow or another cause science and Christianity to coincide and come together, and they wanted the clout that came with that and the intellectualism and all of the other things that go with that. That's a whole different lesson. But what he is saying is it's not that. It isn't that spirit of intellectualism or how brilliant you are or how smart you are or what your IQ is. The truth of the matter is that it is the Lord Jesus Christ. What is truth? The spirit of truth is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying to us. And the Mormons don't have that right. And the Jehovah's Witnesses don't have that right. And the Christian Science people don't have that right. They are thrown in to the generalized umbrella of Christianity. But they're as far off as you could possibly be from the truth. And there are others that would be in the same category. And so it's not academic truth. Now, I'm not putting down academic achievement. We need that. But we better not let academic achievement pull us away from the truth of the Word of God. And science may say one thing, the Bible says another thing. I'm going to believe the Bible. Amen. And you'll find out that the Bible is scientifically accurate. They've proven it over and over, archaeologically accurate, over and over and over and over, because we have the truth, and that spirit of truth is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And God describes those people in 2 Timothy 3:7 And he says they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you can meet some awful dumb PhDs, can't you? They're empty as they can be. They're void of the truth. They're academically astute and they have the degrees, but that doesn't do it. Then thirdly, we have the identification that God requires. The identification that God requires. Back in 1 John 4:2 again in our text, he says that we're to try every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now get that in our minds. Every spirit that agrees with, confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that's the incarnation, that he was God come in the flesh. There were a lot of Jesuses in the world during that day, but there was only one Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's talking about, that God, deity, came and took upon himself human flesh. And so he's talking about that. And try the spirits. Listen, there's seminaries all over the place right now who are denying the Bible as the Word of God, denying the virgin birth. We ought to try the spirits and see if they are of God. And if they're not, we certainly ought to not send our kids there or have any participation with them. And he's talking about the incarnation, the virgin birth. And notice he says, Christ is come. In other words, he reminds us he was preexistent. I mean, you got to be somewhere before you come. And he was there with the Father, and he came to this earth, and he always has been. Now, the Gnostics, and this is what John was dealing with in the early church, was a group of people called Gnostics. And they put more credibility into knowledge and getting that knowledge, accruing that knowledge, than they did in the truth of the Word of God. And one of the main things they in the early church that they denied was the union of the two natures. They said there's no way you could have humanity and deity together. Oh, yes, with the Father and the Trinity, there's a way to have deity and humanity together. And so they denied the union of those two natures. There were two categories of them. One was called the Docetic, D-O-C-E-T-I-C, the Docetic. And that's a Greek word that means to seem to be. And what they would teach was Christ just seemed to be that he really wasn't. And it was some kind of ethereal representation of Christ, and he just appeared as a real man, but he really wasn't a real man. Let me tell you, he was as much God as man, as much man as God, and he died in a human body, though he had never sinned, and suffered in that human body a real, real death. And so what they would teach would be something like that. Then you had the Corinthian lie that was being purported and taught. And they were saying that the Spirit of God came on him when he was baptized, and then when he came to the end of his ministry, before he was crucified, that Spirit left him, and that's why he went on in his humanity and why he couldn't control the crucifixion. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so that would be their teaching, and that was in the early church already there in that church. And so John had to deal with that, and we have to deal with it today. It's all around us. Everywhere you go, you see it. And I know you've got friends, and you work with people, and you have loved ones, and you want to be popular, and you want to be liked, and they want to like you. And so what we do is dip our colors, and we fail to take a strong stand on the truth of the Word of God. And let me tell you, here's the truth right here. This is the truth. This book has no errors in it whatsoever. Oh, I may have spelled a word wrong where I wrote in it, but that's not part of the Bible. This is God's Word. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. It is without error, infallible, verbal inspiration, word for word, in all of the Word, plenary, all of the Word. This is the Word of God. And so we have to take it. If it offends my cousin, tough. And I don't want to be offensive. And I like to be liked, but if we come to that and they say, well, he was not virgin born, then I'm going to take issue with you. And you can say, well, what's your position? I'm going to say, it's the Bible. It's the clear-cut Word of God. The spirit of error is always trying to get in our churches about baptism. For instance, some people baptize in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. They say names. And we baptize in the name, all right? One name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They say we baptize in the names. One little letter that changes the whole truth about baptism. Because if you take away and you don't have the Trinity, friend, then you're in a mess. So that's just one quick illustration of it. So we're to try the spirits. And as we try the spirits, we are to listen for an open confession of who Jesus Christ is. That's the beginning place. If they're wrong there, it doesn't matter what else they believe, they're wrong, friend. And so we start right there. And there was, as I said, many named Jesus in that day, but Jesus Christ is the only one that was the true one who came. So what we need to do is to be guided by the Spirit of truth and put everything to the test and know that Jesus Christ is always the test in this book, the Word of God. Who do you say Jesus is? And I could give you a lot of illustrations, but I was on a plane with a Mormon high up woman in the Mormon church, and I said, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And she said, "Yes, oh yes." I said, "Well, what do you believe about him? Do you believe he was God in the flesh?" "Oh no, he was a great prophet, but he wasn't God in the flesh." And we had a little conversation, but at any rate, because this book is right, and anybody that doesn't go by this book, now there may be some preferences, that's different, but the true teaching of the Word of God, we have to go by. Father, thank you for your precious word that tells us the truth about Jesus, who is the truth, the way, and the life. In his name we pray, amen.